Welcome to the acclaimed podcast, Deep Dive with Andy and the White Whale.
And welcome to a special edition of the Deep Dive, where we break down the March Madness bracket that was released yesterday with the sloppy Selection Sunday show. That was a bit of a disappointment. But we are here today to talk some college basketball. This is March. We have a bracket in front of us. The seeding committee has given us the opportunity to work out who's making the Final Four, who's winning the national title, who's the Cinderellas, and who are primed for upsets. This is going to be a fun podcast, and with us today we have Andy. Welcome, Andy.
Hey.
And we are joined. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry, Andy. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm glad we didn't do this last night. And I guess we never talked about doing it last night, but I would have just been so much angrier. Like, this is like the waiting period for buying a gun, where they're like, hey, you need to chill out for 3 days because you look mad. I would have just been so mad about some of the selections last night. Oh my God. Thing? There was some. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, if you try to go buy a handgun, they make you wait like 3 days. I think. I don't know. I saw it on TV.
Not in some of these states. Anyway, we're joined today by the lovely Monique, Parlay Queen. You know, I could tell we were talking over the weekend. You were getting into the conference tournaments. You were getting into some of the college basketball action. I know that you're a big time bracket pool head, so it felt like it was the perfect opportunity to bring you back in and help us break down the bracket. So welcome to the Deep Dive, as always, friend of the pod, Monique. How are you this evening?
Thank you guys for having me. I'm doing very well. A lot of research went into last night. Crammed everything in. You know, it's the unfortunate thing with having the bracket show being so late and then trying to get everything done. But yeah, very excited to be here and discuss everything.
Oh, I love it. What do you have some particularly fond memories of March Madness? Is this one of your favorite sports events of the year, Monique?
It's become a lot more interesting to me. I try very, very hard to stay level-headed and be disciplined and not bet everything, but it's just so enticing. And the thing is, I was always in school during it. So I would be like, all right, let me watch on my phone. Let me go to the library. Let me get a stream going. And now the fact that I'm at home and able to watch every game, it kind of doesn't really have that appeal as much. I guess being a little rebellious was always interesting to me, but yeah, I'm trying to keep level-headed and choose the games I like the most, but obviously so excited. And how can you not be? There's just so much to bet.
I love it. How many pools are you in so far?
It's very hard to try to find like decent pools because, well, I'm Canadian, so we don't have a team. We don't have like, there are a couple people I know personally that
well,
have
you
like,
sports.
You know, it's tough. It's tough. There's not very many I know. Like I'm in one local one, but I'll be honest. I'm in like three trying to find more. So if anyone has a good one, I'm always open.
Oh, that's great. What's the ideal pool buy-in for you, you think?
I mean, we'll say like 50 to 100. And then yeah. I like when they're capped. I like when the entries are capped because to be honest, I don't trust people that run pools that don't have capped entries.
Oh, 100%. So yeah.
There's been a lot of weird ones this year though. Like a lot of bonus points based on the seeds. Like, I don't know. I like it just completely straight and you get points based on choosing the winner. I don't like that, you know, you get lucky and choose the 16 seed, then you get 16 bonus points. Like, that's stupid to me.
Call me
100%. Yeah. How about you? Do you agree with that, Andy? And how many pools are you in?
Yeah, I've never done one with the extra bonus points, I guess. I don't know how I'd feel about that. I've signed up for 7. They're not all cash. I'm a sucker for... If it says like, oh, here's a free one and you could win like $5,000 if you do well in it. And I'm just
those don't count.
Those don't count.
I'm gonna fill out one very quickly and hope. And they get my burner email, so that's all they're after. But no, I'm in four for cash then.
Nice.
And price varies. And then I also do a draw. We do a back home, we do a $50 draw where you get two random teams, and some years you end up with two 15 seeds, and you just wait until somebody, you'll get a text, come Elite Eight, and people want to know if you want to do it. Should we do a redraw with, you know, eight people? Yeah, obviously. Sometimes that's, obviously. I did end up with Nova the 1 year that it worked
out. But they won it all. Ooh, nice.
But, yeah. So yeah, it was nice for the redraw, but I do like brackets. I've done well. Either I do really well or my brackets are completely effed. Like the Middle Tennessee State over Michigan State. Or Michigan State.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had Michigan State winning it in pretty much every bracket. So
yeah,
that was, I've had like a couple of those. That sort of shit happens to all my brackets all the time. I was telling you guys earlier before we recorded, I have not filled out a bracket yet. I've been kind of letting them marinate. I'm running one of the leagues and I still haven't filled it out. I've just been looking at it.
Wednesday night, Thursday morning. So no, you can wait till
they kick off on Thursday. It'll give me
you're one of those people that don't cap the entries. I know you. Come in all at once, right?
Yeah. I'm with Monique first of all. I'm with both of you guys. I like the old school, you know. I like increasing points as you go deeper in the tournament, obviously. So you get, you know, you're up weighting, getting the Final Four championship game and champion correct. But I don't like the bonus points for seeding. That really throws things into total chaos.
It's such a convoluted way.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to like diversify the number of I'm gonna use this stupid nerdy stats word here, but they want to, you know, broaden the sample and diversify the shape of the brackets because you have more and more crazy ones because you're incentivizing putting, you know, the real long shots to go deeper. That's nonsense. Give me the normal scoring, I like a 20 person bracket, $100 entry, winner take all. That's like my, or winner take all, maybe second place gets their money back or something like that. Like that's the ideal kind of pool for me, and I'm in a couple of those this year, so I'm pretty stoked. I end up picking Duke every year, and I've done this every year. I filled out a bracket for as long as I can remember filling out a bracket, you know, it's worked out for me, I think, 5 times out of the last 27 years. The reason I do this, and I got a ton of shit for posting a bracket with Duke the winner yesterday, because people don't like Duke. I can't really explain that, but they must have some sort of reputation, I guess, or something like that. But whatever the case is, and maybe we haven't talked about this on the pod before, but I am a Duke alumni. I was on the Duke swimming team, and a lot of the people that I'm in the kind of my favorite pool are Duke alumni as well, and everybody picks Duke. So you kind of you have two choices of either going with everyone, and then you all, you know, so basically you take that aspect of it out, and then all of the rest of whatever you get right ends up making the difference. Pick Duke or Duncan in the pool. And then also, like, just, you know, other pools I'm in where, you know, where it's not Duke alumni. Like, if you don't pick Duke and they win it that year, like, what kind of alumnus are you? Yeah, what kind of person are you? You know, here, you know. So if I was in a pool and I got everything else right, but had Kentucky to win and Duke won, and somebody takes the prize because Duke won and I didn't pick Kentucky, I don't think I could live with myself. So Duke or nothing for me on these college basketball brackets. And, you know, some years it works out, some years it doesn't. I definitely remember some of the years they got upset by Lehigh. That was something
Mercer.
That was brutal, Lehigh. Too. And don't get me wrong, like, even last year they got upset by South Carolina. That was a ridiculous game. Like, they had no business losing this. South Carolina.
If you want to jump right into stories, that was, I think I've told this one before, that was the most heartwarming March Madness moment I've ever seen. Was that loss? Was because it was earlier.
The most
earlier,
heartwarming. Okay. All right.
We were in a ballroom in Vegas watching it, and the game right before that, or, you know, there's some overlap, but before that, North Carolina was playing. And North Carolina, you know, they had a lower, they were a big favorite. They had a lower seed, sure. I believe, and they, sure. they took care of business. And there were some North Carolina fans, and they, you know, they won their game. They sort of dispersed. And then right in front of us were some South Carolina fans playing, and they were playing Duke. And after like 20 minutes into the game, a couple of the North Carolina fans ended up at the table, and these people, they didn't know each other. Like, they had never met before, but their hatred of Duke brought them together, and they like hung out for the rest of the, like, we were there for the next couple hours, and they hung out at that table and drank and talked about how awful Duke was, and they were all happy when he lost. It was kind of cool. Like, you know, sorry about, you know, you liking Duke, but it was kind of neat as far as like the hatred of one team could bring some total strangers together.
That's really funny, man. It's, you know what? I'll pull back the curtain a little bit.
And I had Duke first half, so they still made me money.
Yeah, nice work. That was a hell of an upset, though. But yeah, pull back the curtain on a couple things. First is the Duke UNC rivalry. Like some of my most favorite memories actually were spending time with UNC students in college. Like, there's a fun as shit campus. The swim team at UNC was super, super fun people. They were crazy good too. Like, they were like among the best in the country. And, you know, we had some great kind of parties with the UNC swimming and diving team that were outstanding. There's really not a lot of bad blood between the Duke student body and the UNC student body. Maybe there are some like people who grow up like UNC fans from kids growing up who like truly do hate Duke, but it's not like it's portrayed in the media. But I think everybody kind of keeps up with the charade because, you know, it's fun to be part of the quote unquote biggest, you know, college rivalry going. So exactly. But there's very limited bad blood between the student bodies. And the other thing that I'll bring up real quickly, it's a weird kind of, I completely and totally get why people hate Duke basketball and Duke fans. Like, the Cameron Crazies are some of the worst people that were on campus. And if anyone's listening who's a Duke, who is a Cameron Crazy, I apologize for this commentary, I suppose. But to be a Cameron Crazy, you have to live in a tent through like the months of January and February. And at that time period coincides with sorority rush and fraternity rush. And at least it did back in the day. Fraternity system has kind of gotten deconstructed from what I understand at Duke, but whatever the case was, back in the day, like, if you wanted a good place to live, you needed to rush a fraternity. And so the fraternities had parties Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And all through, like the time between, like, Martin Luther King Day and President's Day was just the most fun time of year on campus. There was something to do every freaking night. And your choices were be part of that social scene or go live in a tent so that you could go to a Duke basketball game. And so this had like a natural selection of basically putting like the least social people all together. And they kind of bonded over their like not having lots of friends kind of. This is a lot of generalization. So, but you kind of get the picture, right? So
you've pissed everybody off.
Because this is the crazy thing. If you wanted to go to a Duke basketball game, you didn't have to sleep in a tent. The only reason that you would sleep in a tent was so you would be at the front of the line, and then you could get to sit at center court on the side of the court where the TV was filming. So basically, if you wanted to be like on TV, painted blue, crazy Duke fan, like, you had to live in a tent for 2 months. If you just wanted to go to the game, you could just walk up to the door. There was like plenty of seating for the students.
I see. But what if you're antisocial and you want to join your friends in the tent? What if that's your people, yes, right? See, that, you said you don't know why someone would be there. So
yes. Throwing that out there. You're exactly right, though. Like, they became like their own community between them, and lived in the tents and had their tent parties, and there was lots of tent hooking up, I'm sure, between the nerds who lived in Kayville. So.
Before we get into my team and why I didn't pick them in my bracket, because I'm a realist, do you have a squad, Monique? Or You're up in.
I don't. You know,
you're up
in Toronto. I don't. Whoever I bet, to be honest, that's my squad for the year. But whoever I get a future in on, or whoever I have bets on in play. But yeah, no, it's, I guess if I were to, I mean, I don't have one, but I guess people I've known, like obviously UNC just because, and then Michigan because we're close enough to Michigan and they've been relevant for long enough that people are fans of them. But yeah, I don't really have anyone. I try to stay, I told you, as level-headed as possible.
It's clear-eyed and level-headed as possible.
Yeah, that's the best way to go. See, I went to South Dakota State.
Jackrabbits.
Tournament.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't go out and pick them to win it all like a jackass.
Do you have them winning round one? You said you didn't fill out.
I told you. I haven't filled out.
I mean, I do.
Yet,
so, I'm not going to lie.
But I won't.
Yeah,
they're becoming a bit of a public dog here, but man, they can run with Ohio State. I absolutely think they can. They had a good chance at winning the last time they were in the tournament. They were down three with the ball at the end of the game.
Was it Maryland? Maybe.
Yeah, I think so. They didn't get a shot on, but it was a good showing.
Yeah, I remember that. They covered, but didn't win. Against the spread. Right? Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I think I parlayed them with Hawaii that day. Jackrabbits and Warriors.
Cool. So you're a Vegas for March Madness guy. I had some great experiences back in the day in Vegas for March Madness. It is unbelievably fun time of year to go. You always go the first weekend?
Yep, last 5-6 years, I don't know. We've always done something, but then we started going a few years back, and now it's, you know, we go to Vegas different times of year, but I would never, ever miss March Madness first weekend again. It's the busiest weekend, and it looks like the weather's going to suck this time. But, man, when the weather's hot and the pools are hopping and the games are on, it's quite the trip.
I love that. What were some of your most memorable wins? You got any particularly big tickets you got to take to the window?
We did before, you know, you were going to talk a little bit about your system. This is just one we kind of picked up off, like, the internet. I don't know where we found it, but it was just blindly bet money lines on all the 12 through 15 seeds on Thursday. And then if nothing big hits, do the same thing on Friday, but double it. So then when you catch it,
12 through 15?
12 through 15. So, like,
so that's 16 bets. Okay, cool. Okay.
And then a couple people do that every year. So I ended up, and not only that, you know, people around you don't have to know you did it that way. They don't have to see the 14 losing bets. You can just flash them. Oh, yeah, I had Middle Tennessee State at 20-1 to beat Michigan State. Yeah, I'm going to go take this, get a couple grand. So that's, I don't know how you guys didn't see this one coming.
Yeah, this was right there for the team.
I beat Duke. Or, yeah, Stephen F. Austin. For sure. I mean, I could like name those wins over the last few years just because, they're always so fun. And, yeah, and you can always just, like, they're the 15 seeds, Florida Gulf Coast, Lehigh, Norfolk State. Those are fun.
That's great. What's the what's your favorite place to hang out there? What's your favorite sports book and what's your favorite hang spot?
Ooh, we've stayed downtown the last few years. That's been a lot of fun just because you can bounce into a bunch of different books. We did the Encore for years. We still like to go over there just because we really like that pool, and we still know some of the bartenders that, like, apparently only work the outside bar, and they're a lot of fun. But we're going to check out a few different places. I got some people staying at the Cosmo. We're going to stay at the Palms place. So I'm just going to kind of bounce around. I like all the books. Superbook's pretty cool, but sometimes it's a bit much.
Oh, dude, I love it. You can do some networking. There's going to be a lot of Vegas. A lot of gambling Twitter is going to be Vegas.
Probably going to run into some people out there.
You're going to see a lot of people. Yeah, that's funny. Monique, you have Vegas in your heart somewhere?
Oh, of course. I always say I'm going to come down for March Madness and then don't. But hopefully we can work something out and I can be there for the Derby, because I'm not going to the Derby, but I would love to go to Vegas for that. So hopefully that's in the future. But I mean, next year, I always say this, but next year I have to be there, at least for opening weekend of March Madness. Like, I have to.
Vegas is going to be insane Derby weekend. Because it's also Cinco de Mayo on Saturday, and it's also there's some crazy fight too, right? Isn't the is the Triple G fight on Saturday?
Yep.
That's gonna be insane.
Yep.
Oh man.
Yeah, going and then going back to holidays. This will be the fourth straight year that March Madness in Vegas, the first weekend, will also be out there for St. Patrick's Day.
Ooh,
so like the last 3 years I've done St. Patrick's Day in Vegas. Yeah. Like it works out the cycles. I think it's maybe Saturday or Sunday this year. I don't know which day it is.
I think it's Saturday. Yeah.
Maybe I'm dead wrong, but
I think it's Saturday.
Downtown Fremont Street for St. Patrick's Day is pretty wild. That's always a lot of fun.
That's great, man. Oh, good stuff, man. Good stuff. Okay. Well, have a great time. Win all of your bets. I love the idea of having money line tickets to pull out for the big time upsets. As you look across, I guess I'll go to Monique first, because I know you've been hard at work breaking down your bracket. Of the 12 to 15 seeds, actually, let's get this out of the way first. Do we all agree that no 16 seed is winning again this year?
Yeah, no.
I think
we can say
that.
Okay. So of the 12, Monique, of the 12 to 15 seeds, are there any you have circled as likely to make a little bit of a run here in weekend number one?
Looking at my bracket, I have 3 11 seeds and 1 Ooh. 13 seed in Charleston College over Auburn. But then I only have them for that one round. But that's one of my upsets. I mean, there's going to be one of those obscure ones. So I hopefully I'm right on that one. But yeah, I have a couple 11 seeds. I have San Diego State over Houston, the winner of St. Bon UCLA over Florida, ASU over TCU. And then, yeah, that's round one. And then for round two, I think the winner of UCLA St. Bon could beat Texas Tech. But yeah, we're reaching here. We're reaching definitely. But I like a couple of the 11 seeds, but definitely no higher than that.
I like what you brought up about Charleston, and I didn't think about this, but I always like to try to include 1-12-13 in the round of 32, because I feel like if you go back far enough, that happens about every other year. There's a 12, both the 4 and the 5 in the same region get upset. You have a 12 versus 13.
You're hitting on mine.
You like that too? New Mexico State and Charleston?
I don't know about Charleston. I guess I haven't really thought about that half of it, but I am in love with New Mexico State taking Clemson out.
Yeah.
That might be just – and by in love, while you guys were talking, I kind of looked at some things. And I could – you know, every year you can make a case for the 12 seeds every year, it seems like. Yeah. I believe there was a year that 3 out of 4 won, and like by all accounts, I think the fourth one had a good shot. Yeah, in 2013 and 14, 3 12 seeds won. 2009, 3 12 seeds won.
Yeah, and from memory, like
with those 12.
Yeah, from memory, like the committee used to like to specifically put teams that were starting to flag a little bit in the 4-5, and they like to put like hot unknown mids in the 12-13 range, so that you would have these 12-5 upsets, because that was like an easy way to grab some headlines and to get people's interest. Like, there was a huge upset, 12-5. And then you look at the Vegas line, and like the 12 was like a 1-point favorite or something. I remember a couple of those.
Andy finally has a spot in his bracket filled, and it's with an 11 seed. we're getting somewhere.
I love it. The but yeah, Auburn.
I just clicked New Mexico State over.
Yeah. Auburn and Clemson. Yeah, Auburn and Clemson both look ripe to be
upset.
Yeah,
the second half of their last game there.
Yeah, is there any chance we don't see the dream matchup of Kentucky?
Years, there's only been one year.
Oh, really?
Kentucky-Tennessee? No, in the last 10 years, there's only been one year where there wasn't a 12 seed that won. So
wow.
You might want to pick a 12 seed if you're doing your bracket, at least one. And a lot of years there was two or three. So,
and but you're not going. You're not backing your Jackrabbits. You're not backing your Jackrabbits over Ohio State.
I probably will. I'll be betting that and the over.
Nice.
At least the over spread. You give me 8 points, I'll take it. Yep.
I like it. So Andy's got a good call there on the over as well. So good luck. Yeah. So anyway, back to the four fives. Is there anything stopping the dream matchup of Kentucky Arizona round of 32? Any chance that Davidson or Buffalo pulls off an upset here, Monique?
No, I don't see it at all. That's going to be our matchup, and then probably going to see Virginia Zona in the Sweet 16.
I can't wait.
That's going to be good. So it cannot possibly be screwed up because the world needs that matchup.
I agree with you. That will be fantastic. Such a good clash of styles. We'll get into some of the kind of the actual betting for round one in a second after we kind of break down sort of the fabric of the bracket, so to speak. There's a couple of looks I like. I kind of like Buffalo. The points against Arizona. I think that line's a little too long, and I think people kind of are looking at Arizona as a team that's going to make a run and would be betting them first round on that, kind of thinking that they're going to go deep, and that's not always how it works out. But that said, the South to me looks like the portion of the bracket where we're most likely going to see some chaos. The West to me looks like anyone's game, because I don't believe in Xavier as a legitimate one seed. I think they got a one seed based on fine regular season, but I of the one seeds, I like them to be the first one seed bounced. The Midwest to me looks pretty chalky outside of that 12-13 potential matchup in round 32, and the East, Villanova's to lose. Andy, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm actually looking at just taking them for a bit for even money to win the region.
And is that what they are? They're even
there, maybe off.
They're even money to win the East.
Even to win the region. Yep.
Is the East?
I'm not terribly worried about the Virginia Tech, West Virginia, Wichita. Like, they'll get to the final. I think it's pretty. You don't want to say easy. Those are all fine teams, but I think the way they're playing, the way they're just scoring at will on some people, I think getting them to the regional final should be fairly easy. And then hopefully there's some upsets and you don't end up with like Purdue or Texas Tech. If you get Florida or Arkansas or Butler, someone silly, you could really offset that nice if they were a big favorite. I like Nova to possibly win it all. I think, man, they're a good, solid team with a good, solid coach, and they've got some experience. And playing, I think those games are in Pittsburgh and Boston as they travel. They could stay, they wouldn't have to really go very far until they got down to San Antonio.
It's a good call.
I think
man.
That is kind of the chalkiest region, even with, I could see chaos in the bottom. Texas Tech or Butler could take Purdue out, I think. But I think it stays chalky on the top half.
Interesting. Good point. I love that. I'm writing down these notes as you're talking. I like that call you made. So Villanova's playing in Pittsburgh and then Boston. So that is really light travel, which is pretty nice. Villanova's pretty strong team. Okay, so I actually picked West Virginia to upset Villanova in the Sweet 16. I was doing so on the basis of I wanted Villanova out for so I could convince myself more reasonably that Duke could go to the final.
I knew it.
But that aside, West Virginia. They have an outstanding defensive scheme. They play a pretty ridiculous press. Bobby Huggins has taken this team to the Final Four before. They went a similar path where they had, a scrappy four seed beat the world beating Kentucky Wildcats with John Wall back in the day. I could see it happen again. Villanova in the Big East, I don't give the Big East a ton of credit for being particularly tough, even though they have the legacy and whatnot.
Wow.
And they made a lot of teams. A lot of teams made the playoffs from the Big East. If there's one kind of, I have my eye on one conference that's going to underwhelm here in March Madness, it's the Big East. But, you know, I'm an ACC homer, so take that with a grain of salt. West Virginia, I made our buddy Jay Cryer, who has been absolutely on fire picking college basketball lately. I was trying to get him to kind of buy into West Virginia with me last night, and he was making a great point that basically, like, you can't really put too much hope in West Virginia because they kind of live or die by how the referees call the game, which I thought was pretty interesting point. So depending on how the whistles go in that Villanova-West Virginia game, that could be the difference. Yeah, I liked West Virginia winning the Big 12. They let me down against Kansas in the final, but I think they make a run here and take the East. Monique, who do you have winning the East?
Winning the East, I have Villanova. And actually, I do have some notes, which you're going to like, on West Virginia. So they are ranked in the top 10 in the nation in block percentage and steals per game. And they're 18-1 when they record at least 8 steals and are a perfect 18-0 when holding opponents to 70 points or fewer.
I love it. That's fantastic.
So I like them. I like them over Wichita State. And then I think the problem is going to be Villanova for them. But I could see it. I could be persuaded enough, but yeah, they're definitely someone that caught my eye, and they're one of those teams for me, sleeper teams for potential Sweet 16.
Nice. How about the Midwest? I'm after the chaos in the 12.
I also like West Virginia. Now that I realize I drew them in that draw. So I like West Virginia.
Okay,
you're with me. West Virginia and Michigan State. I got Michigan State and West Virginia, so I'm behind them teams 100% now. I'd say I changed my bracket, but I haven't started yet. So,
all right. Well, Kansas got a freaking red carpet to the Elite Eight, candy, from what I can tell. I don't see. I mean, you know, people are trying to make a case for Penn as a tough 16 seed. Wow, wow, wow. Kansas is going to roll Penn. They are going to roll the winner of Seton Hall, NC State, and they are going to roll whoever comes out of that mess that is below them, and await the winner of what potentially might be the best or second best, depending on how strongly you feel about Virginia, Arizona, I guess, matchup of Michigan State and Duke in the Midwest. Michigan State and Duke have played a lot in the Izzo Coach K era. I remember being on the winning side every time they play early in the season and on the losing side every time they play in March Madness, with the exception of Duke's title run with Okafor and Justice Winslow. They beat the crap out of Michigan State in the Final Four. That was super fun. But Michigan State, is this a team that can legitimately bust my bracket, Monique?
Yeah, well, I mean, Andy's going to be happy and you're not. But I have Michigan State over Duke, and then I actually have Michigan State and Kansas, and then I have Michigan State winning, and then Villanova, Michigan State in the Final Four. And then from there, I have Nova. But I mean, I think, yeah, it's, they're always that team that people pick, and they're always that team that are so close, couple missing pieces. And I think offensively, they've improved. I think defensively, they have it. Obviously, the toughest matchup is versus Duke in the Sweet 16. And I mean, for me, I swayed back and forth. I had Duke, and then I realized you love Duke so much, so I had to go opposite you, because if I'm in any pool with you, I already know you're blue. Duke.
Yeah, right. Got a blue, yeah, blue.
It's a great matchup. It's tough. Could go either way for sure.
Andy, you think any give any credibility to this being Izzo's final run with Michigan State?
Yeah. That athletics department has had their trials and tribulations this year.
Yeah,
like there,
yeah,
was,
they're not running a particular tight ship over there.
He may just, you know, he's had success. He's had a nice career. He might just wash his hands and take off. I don't know. I think he loves the game so much, he might just stick around and kind of tough it out, especially if they make a decent run, because they're always they're also a good team. They're going to recruit well. They're going to have solid squads in the future. He can keep coming back and playing the tournament every year. I don't know. It's tough to get inside a guy's head. I hope they do well, obviously. And I cheer for the Big Ten a little Minnesota's my squad. They went from 11th ranked in the country to 11th seed in their own tournament over the course of the season. So it wasn't a particularly great tournament for them either, or season. But speaking of Michigan State, Minnesota had a player with sexual assault charges. One of their star players go out, and then an injury, and it went real downhill from there. I think maybe there'll be zero Patino's coaching soon. So I kind of went off on a tangent there, but I'm starting to fill this bracket out right now. I have Michigan State beating Rhode Island in the Sweet 16. So
Rhode Island.
I think Kansas. All right. Kansas, Michigan. Yeah, Rhode Island, maybe. Everybody. Oh, it's the team that's like, oh man, did you see
anyone but
did you see Rhode Island at the end of the year? Rhode Island sucks so bad at the end of the year, they're probably gonna lose to Oklahoma, and then they're gonna go on a run that ends up, I don't know where that regional semifinal is.
Midwest somewhere. That, but,
somewhere in the Midwest, probably like, you know, Indianapolis.
That sounds right.
But I think they beat Duke, because fuck Duke.
Oh, man. All right. Well,
Sorry.
I like Duke.
I do love Michigan State to come out of the bottom of that.
I like Duke to beat Iona, and then beat Rhode Island, and then beat Michigan State, and then beat Kansas. This is the kind of Duke team that, even though they got a 2 seed here, and traditionally when Duke is not a 1 seed, they have a very difficult time making the Final Four. This is the type of team that I like to see, where they have some horses who can score inside, who can get O rebounds. They're not totally reliant on the shooting from the outside. The Duke teams that tend to get upset earlier are the teams that like live or die by the three and go cold at the wrong time in the wrong game. This team, you know, they have some shooters outside, but that's not how they make their fortune on just shooting threes. Marvin Bagley is a man. That guy is a player who will absolutely show out this tournament, make a case, hopefully in the final against Ayton, that he should be considered for the number one pick. But you know, Bagley is going to carry this squad. They have depth on top of having some star power. Grayson Allen is a little bit of a concern because he's not a particularly fun guy to cheer for, let alone a guy that you can particularly count on day in, day out. So that concerns me
everybody
a little bit.
Everybody likes a villain. Gotta have a villain.
Everybody likes a villain. So we'll see how it shakes out. But this is a Duke team I feel pretty good about. Got a piece of them to win the title at 8-1 that I will ride out for better or worse, along with every one of my brackets. Let's talk about the West. The West is set up really, I mentioned it when we were kind of covering it all at the very beginning. I think that if there's any bracket, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, maybe there's this hardcore Xavier stand amongst the group of us. This seems like if you're in this bracket and you're not a number one seed, you got a legitimate shot at getting to the Final Four. I particularly bounced Xavier in the round 32 to Missouri. That is potentially controversial because Missouri is not particularly good, but they do have some star talent that can play on the right day. So I'm looking for an upset of Xavier early. Even if Xavier does make the round of 32, I like Gonzaga a lot with the experience and the coach and the depth they have. This was a great seeding for them, I think. They're going to be able to get by UNC Greensboro with ease. I like South Dakota State to upset Ohio State, which means Gonzaga to the Sweet 16 is looking very likely, where they'll meet the winner of Xavier, Missouri, and presumably punch their ticket to the Elite Eight. On the bottom half, boy, do we have some good matchups set up here. Michigan likely to get the winner of Houston, San Diego State. Does the X, you guys, I wish I had fact checked this, but San Diego State's coach used to be the Michigan coach, true or false? I think he did, unless he retired from San Diego State. Michigan-San Diego State would be a cool matchup, just clash of styles-wise, strength versus strength-wise. North Carolina-Providence would be a fun matchup. So I got No. The guy, I think the guy that was, I think the,
correct, it was Steve again, Fisher retired.
It's he Brian retired.
Dutcher's the coach, yeah.
Okay, well, maybe he, is he from the Steve Fisher tree? Whatever the case is.
I don't know, man. You know how late it gets. I'm not a West Coast guy. I put bets in and go to sleep. I don't catch the Mountain West and the WCC. I'm much tired. I'm too old.
You're not an, you're not an Aztecs fan? The Michigan, North Carolina.
I had a lot of Aztecs futures for them to win their conference.
Yeah, yeah.
In football.
Yeah. Michigan likely comes out of that mess, whatever the case is, faces North Carolina in the Sweet 16. Michigan was white freaking hot in the Big Ten title game. It happened a week earlier than it usually does, and they've been sitting around on their hands for a week getting cold. Does that concern you at all if
rest
you were going
rust.
To rest or rust? Exactly. Monique, rest or rust?
No, I think the more time off, the better, to be honest. I don't really, they're kids at the end of the day. So I think just having a little bit of a rest benefits more than harms. I do see what people argue with getting rusty, not being in as good shape as if you're just coming out of a play-in game or something. But yeah, I like them a lot. I'm pretty similar with you in the sense I like San Diego State over Houston, like I said, and then I think it's going to be Michigan UNC. And then I have Michigan beating UNC, and then I do have Xavier Gonzaga, and then I like Xavier. I know I've gone back and forth on that, but it's just for me, I think it's just their matchups. Like I have an upset, I have Florida State over Missouri, and I think because of that, I think they have such an easy round two matchup in that sense. And then, you know, I just think they're going to beat the Zags, and then I think Michigan has a good shot too, and they're good. And it's tough. Obviously, the West is, I think, the most wide open of them. But yeah, I know you're disappointed on Xavier. I can hear it in your voice.
Well, I'll tell you one of the reasons that, and again, you know, like, granted, I am not a hardcore college basketball watcher. I do not handicap it day in, day out. I can't tell you the names of most of the players on these teams. Xavier fits into kind of like the overall pieces of the puzzle as I remember past years of March Madness going, where this is a team where they would get 4, 5, 6, 7 seeds and they would do something awesome, right? They would win their original their round one and round two matchup, be the surprise team in the Sweet 16 and upset Arizona or upset a blue chip. And now here the tables have been turned. They're the one seed. A lot of times when that happens and the expectations now are higher and you're the favorite in all of these games, the first year that that's the case, you tend to get punched in the mouth by someone that you weren't expecting.
You've never been to a Final Four. And now,
never been to a Final Four.
And now as a one seed, now they're expected to. That is tough.
Yep. So –
but isn't it, like, maybe not concerning, but isn't it alerting that everyone is thinking that Xavier has no shot, even as a one seed, and everyone's saying that that's the one seed that's going to be upset first? Like, isn't that all that chatter something to consider, that everyone is so high on Xavier not being as good as they seem to be?
It's true. You make a good point. Like, can they rally and can they
fade the chatter?
Yeah, exactly. Can they use that as their motivational angle in the same way that they have in years past when they have actually been the underdog? That's a great question. I just think back to, like, who was it? Remember when Wichita State was like the bracket buster year in, year out, and then all of a sudden they were
going to meet Kentucky? Yeah.
Yeah, and oh yeah, and then where did all of a sudden they're the one seed and they just flopped. Like I think this is that team this year. I could completely be wrong, but to me, when I see a team that is not a blue chip program that's been scrappy and Cinderella in years past, and now they get the one seed, I'm ready. I'm prepared for a letdown from this squad. again and again, like I'm a victim of like history and and kind of that mental bias. Like I think back to like, oh, that was a great matchup I remember from back in the day. That was super fun. That would be cool if that happened again. You know?
And I'd like to see that again.
I'd like to see that again. And so what did I do when I saw Gonzaga and UNC in the same region on opposite sides? I put them in the Elite Eight because I would love to see another Zags UNC game, rematch of last year's national title game, this time for a spot to the Final Four. Zags get their revenge over the Tar Heels and punch their ticket for San Antonio.
Tar Heels, so, Jesus.
Yeah, so.
I just filled out this region. And, oh, man. And then the page refreshed and it wiped it all away. Solid region for team nicknames, though.
Oh, like, yeah.
Musketeers, sure. Jackrabbits, Zags, Grizzlies, Friars, even Tar Heels. Everyone knows them. You know, you're just so used to that, but that's a weird-ass name.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Buckeyes and Tar Heels, those are – what are those things? I don't know. But anyway, I have
– No one knows.
I don't love Missouri. I don't love Missouri right now. I don't love Florida State. I wish I could bet against both of them. I do think South Dakota State has a good chance of an upset. Zags over them. I can see the Zags taking out Xavier. I think Zags just tournament experience, Xavier, with all the pressure on them, that could be a tough spot for them. San Diego State is playing pretty hot right now. I still think Michigan gets past them. And I do think Michigan beats UNC. I'd like to see like that Michigan-Zags match up there.
Oh, in the, okay.
You're just copying my bracket. Wow.
Pretty much. I was.
All right,
so I didn't send it to you.
You guys are on the same wavelength. I love it. So, Monique, you like Michigan out of the West and Zags?
I have Michigan Xavier in the Elite Eight, and then
Michigan Xavier. Okay, got it. Yeah. Xavier. Okay, and Andy, who you like coming out of the West? He's choosing as we podcast.
He's choosing.
He's breaking down the numbers. He's breaking down the percentages. He's cranking the model.
I'll get to it. Just give me erase.
Are you just clicking? Are you just on the Action Network site and just clicking simulate over and over again until you see one you like, and then that's your bracket? I don't know if you did that today, but I did that for a while during lunch. It was fun.
Oh no, I simulated. Real quick, hard left turn there, but I got to find this from years ago. I think it was the Wall Street Journal had something. They usually do different stuff, but they had one where it was the blind resume season, but it had absolute blind resumes of teams, and you had to pick each matchup that way. And it took like half an hour, reading like,
yeah,
this team's good from three, and here's how they match up. And they'd show you two blind resumes and you pick who wins that matchup. And you had to go through all, 61 games that way or whatever.
Who did you end up with?
And
yeah,
I absolutely cannot recall, but that bracket won me money. I ended up exporting it and putting it into one of my leagues. And it got like third place in a really big league. Won a few $100 in some rando league that I'd entered. I'd kind of forgot about that bracket because it was on some weird site.
But there you go. Hey, so if you're someone who...
It was just kind of fun. It was fun looking at it. You know, just like,
if you're someone out there who's, if you're out there and you're tired of losing your bracket pool, or not winning money in your bracket pool, and going with your gut is not working for you, check out the Wall Street Journal site where you get to pick blind resumes and you can get third place and win a couple $100. Let's talk about the South real quick. South has got some fun stuff here. I don't really, again, you know, the Cincinnati kind of falls into a category of that Xavier falls into, and I know that they're geographically and bitter rivals, so it's not totally fair to put them in the same category mentally here. But this is a team I don't really have a ton of confidence going for, which means the bottom half of the South for me is wide open. Top half of the South, again, Virginia, Arizona might be, you know, tied if not the best of the matchups potentially in the Sweet 16. I've got Zona going all the way to the final in my bracket because Aiden is that good right now, and he is that much better than the next best team or next best player in his region, and their depth is playing fine. The Pac-12, I think, was underrated. I think they were better than people realize. Yeah, Sean Miller's got some W's to kind of remind everyone that he's the next generation of top tier coaches here. So I like Zona to get by Virginia on that basis alone, even though they tend to underwhelm in March, but this team looks special, looks better, and I like them to go the distance, lose to Duke in the final. Virginia, Arizona, do you have a different take on that, Monique?
I do, but that matchup is everything, and that's for sure going to decide who comes out of the bracket on that side. I have Virginia, and I have Cincinnati, and I think it's another one of those things where it's like, just based on who I have in the first round and then second round, I have Cincinnati, Nevada, and then I have Cincinnati, Miami. And then I went back and forth on that one. That's one that I think Miami can upset them. They're one of those teams where they do have some quality wins. They've beat North Carolina, Middle Tennessee, Louisville, Florida State, NC State, and they swept Virginia Tech. So I like that they're also one of those teams that have a wide range of blowout wins, close defeats, and some buzzer beaters. So for me, effort is really important. And you got to have that one player that's going to be the X factor. Well, you're totally right. Ayton is just leagues above everybody. But Miami has this shooting guard. His name's Lonnie Walker, and he's projected to go top 15 overall in the draft. So I think having that one X factor could really make the difference. And I do think it's possible they upset Cincinnati, but I mean, as of right now, my Elite Eight in the South is Virginia, Cincinnati.
Interesting. Do you know which way you're leaning right now, Andy, between Arizona and Virginia?
Yeah, I had kind of forgotten a little bit about how Miami played throughout the year. I don't know if I just didn't watch them a ton, but you know, you list all those, and even going back to how sad I am about the Gophers season, the Gophers were really good at the beginning of the year when they were completely together, and they were, you know, a top 15 team, and Miami went and beat them in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. That's, it might not look like a quality win now, but they were hot from the get-go, and they played pretty good ball in a league that, what, how many teams get into the ACC? In a shitload.
Yeah. I think 8, 9. I guess, yeah.
7 or 8, 9, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
I don't want to count them. But I am very excited for the Virginia. We always have this argument in one of the chats about Virginia, how boring they are. And I did read a good article today about the precedents for a slow-paced team not doing well in the tournament. All it takes is a team being able to break their defense and put up a bunch of points, and a team with a slow pace that grinds you down isn't particularly built to come back from a hot run if somebody gets up on them. So Virginia, you know, they are probably one of the top 3-4 best teams in the country, but it's still a team that you got to put on upset alert just because of they're a low-scoring defensive team for the most part. I think Zona could definitely run with them. Zona could beat them. I haven't filled out this section yet, but I will say over the course of the year, I put in futures for Nevada, Cincinnati, Nevada. Nevada, Cincinnati, and Arizona.
And oh,
they
no.
all got drawn. Those are my three futures. They all got put in the same region with
the overall Cincinnati. With all of them.
Oh, yeah. No.
I'm sorry.
I know, it's like,
it's
like going back to going back to a baseball. I had futures of 10 plus on the Dodgers, the Astros, and the Indians. And it was really close to looking like the Yankees were going to beat my Twins, and then in rapid succession, beat all three of my futures in three straight series. Thank you, it Houston.
Did thank look you like so it was much. For
yeah, that was so. Yeah, a team that I haven't liked all year is probably bound to take out Arizona and Cincinnati for me after Cincinnati dispatches the Wolfpack. I like Tennessee a little bit. They're playing hot right now. They looked pretty good in their conference tournament. Kentucky hasn't gelled properly, it seems, till maybe the tournament. They They looked like a kind of squad that's made up of a bunch of one-and-done top recruits. They've had years like this where they didn't click right away, and they've had years where they go 30-0. It's tough when you get a bunch of 18-year-olds like that together, and they could be a very dangerous team. They could win this region if they start clicking with the talent they have. That could be a very good matchup there too. Nobody's really talking about that Kentucky Arizona game. That could be a real cracker.
Yeah,
I think it's a very tough region. I think people are kind of down on this region after some of the talking heads have said it's a tough region. I still think it's a really tough region where you might not see a first round upset in this one.
It's possible. I'm actually looking at a first round upset on my bracket. Interesting. Wow, man.
But fuck it. I have Cincinnati, so they'll come out of there.
Okay. All right.
Even though they've been pretty bad lately.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some of the first round. You brought it up there. I'm with you. I've not seen any upsets in round one in the South. Let's talk about round one a little bit. And some of these specific games, see if you guys have any feel for these games or just kind of in general what your thoughts are on some of the topics about how to handicap tournament games. We're obviously on a neutral site. Travel is different for all of these teams. Some of them travel a little bit, some of them travel a lot. Some teams, you know, they generally like to circle matchups that are occurring at elevation for East Coast teams that aren't used to traveling or playing at elevation. So look out for, are there any games in Denver or Salt Lake City this year? I didn't really look yet. But those are always interesting and fun to handicap because of the location itself. I guess I'll kind of theorize a couple things, and I'd love your guys' takes on these ideas. I know I'm going to watch all these games. I completely fuck off of work on Thursday and Friday of March Madness and stream college basketball for 12 straight hours. I will be betting aside on pretty much every game. I try to keep my stakes a little bit lower just because, like, this is for fun. I don't really know what I'm doing here. I just like to try to grind out a little money throughout the course of the tournament. So I'm going to bet every side and try to find the right side in every game. One of the strategies that I generally don't subscribe to but has some merit, in particular at certain times in the tournament, is fading the public when it comes to college basketball tournament betting. Andy, do you think, and I guess, you know, let me couch this by saying, fading the public is not something that I generally subscribe to. There's lots of misinformation out there about how useful it is, for sure. But here we sit now, lots of people like me who haven't bet college basketball all season, all of a sudden are into it, and all of a sudden are betting without a ton of information. Are there opportunities to fade the public in March Madness?
I have to go fact check this because it's something I read like last year, but I do think there's just too much going on the first weekend where people, and that's my theory on this. There's just too many damn games to just go straight hard fading the public, maybe in a few spots. But I had seen some sort of stat saying that second weekend you could make a lot of money just straight up going against the public when there are fewer games and they're starting. I think they might even start a little later for the most part. Maybe there's still some morning games. You can make a little more money when there is just a ton of public money coming in on everything. So I might do a little research before we get to that second weekend, see what that says. And then going back to your locations, I'm not really seeing any altitude. Boise is half a mile up, but everything else is pretty much you get a Sweet 16 regional in L.A., so maybe you could head down there.
Yeah, it's usually a fun deal.
You got Boston, Atlanta, LA, and beautiful Omaha, Nebraska.
Hey, I met the mayor. I know the mayor of Omaha. Let me ask you then about. Okay, so my my philosophy going into handicapping these games, I like to use a numerical model. That's not a surprise to anyone who listens to this podcast. I like to use the KenPom opponent adjusted statistics for offense and defensive efficiency and pace, and project a score, see what the difference is, compare that to where Vegas opened the line, look for games where we have agreement, and then I especially love when the line moves in favor or towards the favorite off of a good number, like off of a sharp number on the open. And that to me is like my favorite of the spots to bet in college basketball. And I'm looking down the card here, and there's not a ton of examples of that except for Ohio State opened up 7.5, and that's drifting out to 8. Nevada opened as a pick, and that's drifting out to 2.
Still very early. Very
still very early, yeah. Arizona opened 8.5, and that's drifting out to 9. Basically, just the idea here is the right number, the number Vegas made to open, you know, or it's basically saying the market is so inefficient because of the uninformed money that it's moving the lines in the wrong direction, and the number that Vegas opened in the first place is a better true number, and if you can get free points against that number, you take them. Buffalo is a good example of a team I'm probably going to be backing round one. You know, people I think are looking at Arizona as a team that has a chance to make the Final Four, and it's kind of built into their thought process. Well, if they're going to make the Final Four, then they're going to kick the shit out of this 13 seed. Buffalo is a good team. They're well coached. They have, you know, the MAC is not strong, but it's better than some of the other smaller mid majors. So I think Buffalo can give Arizona a pretty competitive half of basketball, if not take them to the wire in round one, because Arizona obviously looking ahead to match up with Kentucky in round two. So that may be one of my favorite of the Thursday
I like that
matchups.
Look. I watched a little bit of Buffalo there. I watched them with the MAC tournament there.
Yeah, they're good.
They can ball. They can ball. And they don't have to win.
Yeah.
You get a bunch of points, yeah.
Yeah. The other one that really stands out to me is Loyola, Illinois is taking some healthy money, and I don't get it. I think Miami is better than people realize. They opened this at -2.5. I thought that line looked short from what I was modeling. It's down to 1.5, so basically you just need Miami to win this game. And I don't know. Loyola, Illinois, do anything for you, Andy? Is that something that I'm selling short?
It's trendy right now, but what is that? Missouri Valley? Like, it seems like that's not a – I mean, you got Illinois State, and start naming me some more Missouri Valley teams. I mean, it's
– I don't know.
It's
Jordan Majeski.
Your
Cubs Dan is the only one I know who watches this conference.
Our boy Jimmy from the tennis chat, he's an Illinois State guy.
Oh, is he?
He gets mad because they almost make it to the tournament every year, but yeah, they don't really move the needle for me. I don't think that line should be that short.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's the thing. That's the biggest thing I see with just the people I talk to when I'm out in Vegas, just people I know that are betting out there. They just, all these big names against these smaller squads in the first round, they don't need to win by 40. They know they have a long path ahead of them. Those, you know, those big spreads. I'm looking at that same spreadsheet I was popping up before. In the first weekend, dogs cover often. I mean, it's
true.
It's not like a winning number if you just took all dogs, but over the past decade, it's like 163 and 151.
Yeah,
dog. So you're gonna get, it's gonna be half and half. It's just like the regular season. These teams aren't gonna come out and cover every spread just because they're a favorite to win a region.
Yep, 100% agree. That's kind of my feeling. That's specifically my feeling about
dogs.
Buffalo
Jesus.
And Zona. Yeah. The bet some dogs. Come on, man. Let's get some March Madness here. This is March for crying out loud. One of the lines I see going in the right direction, I think, is URI, opened at -1, out to -2. Oklahoma, not sure they should be here. One-dimensional team, poor form of late. Any Is this a fair read as far as you're concerned, Monique? Do you give Oklahoma as much a chance as the books are right now? Pretty much, short dog here against URI?
I mean, it's one of those things like, yeah, they might make it out of the first round. I don't think so. But I mean, I like Rhode Island there, but I'm also very cautious. I know people are looking for one of those teams because everyone knows there's going to be an 11, a 12 seed that upsets, and people get attached to certain teams. You know, maybe someone just mentions a team and then the public gets on board. And one of those, yeah, like,
for sure.
Picks. So it's tough when you're looking at some of these teams, like you had mentioned earlier, with Miami and Loyola. Like, I've heard that it's possible, and yeah, you see the line moving in that sense, but towards closer to tip, you'll probably see the line come back to where it should be, and Miami should be favorite there. Like, I would say 3.5, 4, and I think eventually it'll get there. It's one of those, like, I mean, you said you're going to have action on pretty much everything, so
yeah,
I think this is more of a question prime towards you, but I try to stay away
from this. You're generous.
I'll leave that one to you. All you.
Hand up.
You know what? Let me ask that guy, Derek Stevens, you know that he owns the D and the Golden Gate downtown. He owns a few casinos and all that down there. He gets on VSiN and picks. He puts $11,000 on every first round game between his sports book and the South Point there, and then he gets on VSiN and talks about all his picks. And he's a big Michigan State guy. I think he's had a huge future on them every couple of years when they are in a good spot. You might want to go look at his picks. I think traditionally he does really bad. If you want to just bet every game, you might want to take Derek Stevens' picks and just flip flop around.
The blind fade.
Don't bet every single game unless you're Whale and you're just doing it for fun.
Let me ask you this. See, okay, without you guys, without
both testing you, a model, that's all you're doing.
Both of you guys, without looking, the tournament starts, right? First game's tip off. There is a lot of basketball to be played. There's always some games that are just expected to be terrible in the first tip off that end up being barn burners. And in my back of my mind, a lot of those are 3 versus 14 seeds where the 3 seed gets upset. I could think of Baylor as an example. I could think of Notre Dame as an example over the last couple of years. There's a handful of other ones where the 3 gets upset by the 14. And lo and behold, the opening tip game this year is Wright State, Tennessee. I don't know anything about Wright State. I don't know if they're a fair 14 seed or if they put them down in the 14 seed to give Tennessee a heart attack here, but 13 points is going to be on my card without a doubt. Wright State to keep this thing competitive. Am I misremembering this, or do you remember from years past the 3 seed having a little bit of a sweat and or getting outright upset right off the tip in years past? I guess I'll ask Monique first. Do you remember
five,
that?
Five in the last 8 years.
Or five I do. In the last I do last remember 5 years. That. I think it's funny you mentioned that. I think maybe I do remember that, first of all. And then subconsciously, that was one of those games. Like, I don't think Tennessee does very well this tournament. I have them losing to Miami. But that game in particular, Tennessee Wright State, I looked at it for a while and I was like, who the hell is Wright State? Who have they played? What are they? Like, what is it? And I could not find a reason to not like them, but I couldn't find a reason to like them. So I just kind of like sat there looking at it and I'm like, I mean, I guess Tennessee is better. I couldn't really make a very like logical argument towards Tennessee, but I just kind of put them in by default. So I can see that actually.
I love it. Andy,
I'm trying to think of a particular 14 seed. Maybe from like 2014.
Oh, dude, didn't Yale did it 1 year as Mercer, a 3 seed? Mercer? Somebody crazy. Oh, yeah. Well, Mercer did it against some ACC team back in the day. That was a while ago, though. Nobody remembers that.
That was 4 years ago. Andy. So, 2013, 14, 15, and 16, there wasn't a 14 seed last year that won, but
Andy,
Boy,
can
there's
you name
some wild ass ones.
Can you name the Wright State
Absolutely.
mascot?
Ooh, no, I absolutely can't.
Monique, do you know the Wright State mascot?
It's gonna be a husky or a dog.
It's not the Wright State Dogs, although their picture is a dog. It's the Wright State Raiders. God knows
Ooh,
why.
Rowdy Raiders.
They're the Rowdy Raiders of Wright State. Do you know where the state of Wright is? Out of curiosity, is that in the Midwest somewhere?
Is there a state called Wright? Named after the Wright. I do know it's named after the Wright brothers.
They have a whole state named after them, huh? Okay.
It's near Dayton. I think it might be Dayton.
Yeah, Fairborn, Ohio, it looks like.
It's in Kitty Hawk.
This is a fun conversation because like I was like Monique, like who the hell is Wright State? Do they have any business being here? Did they just luck out winning their conference? They were actually the 2 seed, it turns out, in the Horizon League. It looks like Cleveland State did all the hard work.
Horizon League Championships.
That's right. That's right. Cleveland State did all the hard work in their bracket for them. They beat the top seeds in succession to then lose to Wright State by a million points in the final. So maybe Wright State's good. Who knows? Maybe they give Tennessee a heart attack here. But you know, I remember some of the years past. Did Georgia State beat Baylor 1 year? It was Georgia State over Baylor.
That was 2015 where there was two 2015 seeds.
Did Notre Dame lose outright as a 3 seed, or did they just can't come damn close? I remember like sometimes the 3 seed just has a brutal scare early, and sometimes they lose outright. But this feels like a scare to me, so I'm gonna take 13
points. They didn't lose.
That's too much. UNC Gonzaga might fall into this category too. Gonzaga, they're asking a West Coast Zags team to play at 10:30 in the morning, the week after daylight savings time changes. That is a huge departure from when these guys are used to playing basketball. What time does Zags tip off usually? Probably like 7 o'clock Pacific time. They're going to ask him to tip off at 9:30 a.m. If you want to look for halftime action, UNC Greensboro first half is probably a good look. I bet you anything they're in that game at halftime. Maybe Gonzaga pulls away late once they pull their heads out of their asses, but that looks like a fun look. Monique, do you bet any college totals out of curiosity?
I like team totals. I just the way you were saying, if a team's going to be competitive at halftime or just a really big dog, I like to take their team total if I think it'll be close, because a lot of the time they're so undervalued that you can actually find one of those things where as long as they're competitive, they'll go over their total. I much prefer team totals than just overall totals, but yeah,
I like that.
I'll do that.
Andy, how about you? Are you a neutral court under guy?
I do that, but not in the tournament. That's more. I have bet. Yeah, no, I have bet. I bet I've bet 30 unders in the last 2 weeks in college basketball, and pretty much only one. I think I bet one over, and that the Duke. I think it was Duke. The Duke semifinal there. In the conference tournament, but yeah, unders in neutral sites, especially earlier games in weird arenas, you can make a ton of money. There was a day where I absolutely should have been 8-0, and you know, part of the deal with an under, sometimes there's overtime. Where I had 8 of them just nutted, and 2 of them went to overtime, and 1 almost stayed under in overtime. It was sad, but you still take 6 and. I don't do as many totals come tournament time because there's so many. I like teams that know each other a little better. Conference tournaments.
Oh, for sure.
There's some weird matchups right now. So I'll still look at some. If there's some teams with pace, then I don't think the number's high enough.
Nice.
But I do like you said, early game. You go early game under.
Again, this is kind of a third rail of talking about gambling, but when it comes to looking at reverse line movement and steam, etc., while I like to see a line moving against the side I have circled in terms of a side in college basketball, I think the opposite is true for totals. I think you can probably glean that just from our conversation here. Like, we're not really interested in these totals. We don't really have an idea if these are sharp numbers or not. And people who do this for a living, maybe they live for betting college totals in tournament time. You know, they know that when, you know, I'm just looking at some of these line movements already. They're incredible. Like, you're seeing 2 and 3 point line movements already on a ton of these totals, which is kind of shocking to me. Riddle me why Jackrabbits Buckeyes opened 149.5 and it's down 3 points. Like, that's surprising. So, you know, I would guess just off the, you know, while I'm kind of speculating here that the sides are inefficient markets for college basketball tournament games, I would guess that the totals are very efficient. And it's potentially, you know, to the degree that they have any ability to project these scores correctly, which I'm not sure they do, given that these are teams that never face each other on neutral sites in crazy circumstances. I would guess that there is probably some money to be made in chasing steam on totals, if that's your sort of thing. And maybe you can just feel better about your bet that way. If you get your number, if you get your total bet in and the blind moves with you, maybe you feel a little bit better about your action here.
That's fair. You make a good point though. Like, the thing I look at when you're talking about totals is, okay, so it's early. People don't even know, like, well, Andy's filling out his bracket right now. So,
Yeah, but right.
That's what most people are inclined to do. And whereas sharp money comes in usually later on the spreads, and it kind of tends to even out towards the end of it. Who is thinking on a Monday night, Tuesday morning, who's thinking, damn, I really need to get a total in this game? Who's thinking that? There's obviously someone out there doing that. So I trust it. When you see like a three-point movement.
Like, yeah, it's not the recreational bettors.
Yeah, no, sir. Exactly.
No.
So who's betting it? That's the question. And obviously if it's moving to that extent, there's
Stephen F. Austin, Texas Tech got bet down from 140.5 to 137.5 already. I mean, like, this is crazy.
Big.
Like the ticket counts are tiny on these games and they're
Wichita State.
Yeah.
No, midnight on Sunday after the selection show, after the numbers have just come out, if someone's hitting the Wichita State Marshall total, they probably have a reason. Probably do it either for a living or they have some numbers.
They have a reason for doing it, for sure. I'm seeing most of these numbers being bet
down. I like that angle, the steam chasing on some of this.
You know what's funny too is that you would guess that, or at least, and maybe this is all kind of all of this is philosophical. First of all, I'm not living and dying by these numbers and know a ton. Like, we, you know, when it comes to football, like, I have a totally different enlightened perspective on a lot of this stuff. This I'm just kind of speculating, but it's surprising to me that most of these major moves are moves to the under, because you would, or at least I would guess that, you know, the public money comes in on these games, and if people are betting the totals, they're probably betting overs. So you would think that if you wanted a good number,
yeah, why wouldn't you let it get better?
Well, I have a theory on that.
Yeah, what do you think?
One of my guesses would be, you know, in most sports too, but especially for this, there are a lot of players you don't know are going to be playing.
Sure.
And now is the time where you're going to be hearing and you're going to have a better grasp of who's actually going to be playing. So if someone that you thought potentially was going to sit out, like, I don't remember off the top of my head, but there was someone who, I can't remember who it was. It was one of the bigger teams where they said one of their better players aren't going to be playing. They're just going to sit out the first round matchup. So if you hear news like that, that's huge. That's enough to, you know, if he accounts for 15 to 20 points, that's enough, I would say, to move down a total that was set earlier.
Sure. That's a good point. Interesting stuff, guys. Well, I'm going to keep an eye on all this. And then next year when we do this, I'm going to have totally forgotten it all. And we'll go through it all again.
You're going to come back with the number 3 seed.
Oh, yes,
number 3
exactly.
Versus 13 seed.
Do you guys remember the 3 seed usually has a tough time? No, but, you know, I think, I guess just as a quick recap on Thursday, the looks that I know for sure I'm probably going to get involved with is URI, Wright State, UNC, Greensboro first half. I think I'm going to skip KU and Duke. I like Miami. I like the Jackrabbits. I like Seton Hall. I like Kentucky. I like San Diego State. And that's about it. Oh, Buffalo.
I like Buffalo.
And Buffalo. You like Butler?
Buffalo and Butler.
Okay, cool.
I think so.
Friday's game's equally interesting. In my mind, in my expectation, through years of watching this and kind of keeping kind of mental notes on all this stuff, building a mental model, as the nerds would say, I kind of think of like, okay, there's a little bit of chaos early, then things kind of cool down, and then there's kind of some chalk. And then Friday morning opens up, and usually Friday morning is a little bit chalky, and then things get chaotic again at the very end of round one. And I'm saying that in part because I'm looking at here, like we talked about, College of Charleston and New Mexico State. Those are late games on Friday. Those have chaos written all over them. FSU Missouri, you could have faded both of these teams because they opened it up at Missouri -1 and it's now Florida State -1, so you could have gotten +1 on both teams. Friday looks like a little bit less interesting day looking at the slate from my personal perspective, I guess. Anything jump out at you besides Butler, Andy? And looks like Butler's moving in the right direction. This is a classic like 10 seed, and they're actually a 1 point or 1.5 point favorite. And Butler beats Arkansas, and they go to put up a banner on CBS Sports. Like, number 10 seed wins. You know, and it's like it's not an upset, guys. And then I'm remembering this now. There's a whole backlash of people on the internet.
And before it moved, like, it was a little weird. The openers.
Yeah, it was.
Before sure. that moved, I believe it opened as Arkansas favorite. There was no double-digit teams that were favored before that moved, and that is actually a little odd. Hmm. Usually there's some 10s and 11s that will open as favorites, just because seeding is one thing, but it's kind of like how Bama was the fourth seed in the playoffs, in the college football playoffs. Seeding is one thing.
Yeah.
The odds makers and the committee are two different people.
For sure. I'm remembering now last year, too, that was so funny. There was a 12 seed. Was there one 12 who beat a 5 last year, I think? I can't remember.
None.
But zero. None? None of the 12s? Maybe it was a 13 beat a 4, whatever the case was. There was one double-digit upset. There was one double-digit upset last year.
It was Middle Tennessee State took out Minnesota.
That's right. Thank you. Middle Tennessee State was like
Arkansas Little Rock beat Purdue.
The Middle Tennessee State was the one I was thinking of, though. Middle Tennessee State was like a 2 or 3 point favorite, maybe even more than that. They took some steam late. Like they were the clear favorite in that game. They pulled off the upset, and it was hysterical. Like ESPN, Sports Illustrated, you know, every major entity tweeted out, "We have our first upset, 12/5." The amount of people that ran to their Twitter machines to correct them and say, "Actually, Middle Tennessee was the favorite. It's not an upset." It was so funny. Like just looking down, so many "well actuallys." It was hysterical. And then there was a backlash to the "well actually." Oh, it was quite funny. So I look forward to that happening again with Butler once they go to press with number 10 seed Butler pulls off the upset against Arkansas on Friday. That'll be fun. Monique, does anything else jump out off the page on Friday besides College of Charleston, New Mexico State?
You know, pretty much just those. I'm looking at region winners. I think I'm probably going to do that. I think it's the best way to avoid betting all the games that I'm trying to stay so far away from. Sure. I haven't really had a chance to really look into the spreads or the movement or any of that stuff yet. But, I mean, we have a lot of time still.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
Well, I'm with you in that we have a lot of time. I'm probably going to put in my Thursday bets Thursday morning and my Friday bets Friday morning. So I don't think I'm going to get any of these early numbers. Just wait and see how the market shapes up. And like I said, hope that it moves in the direction of the favorites in a couple of these where I like the dog. So I get some free points off the opener. We're not seeing a lot of that early though. So I'm going to need some public action here as we come down the home stretch. Almost all the sharp early action, if you want to qualify it as sharp, looks like people taking underdogs here. So, kind of interesting. Monique, just a quick thought, and I don't really know where you stand on this, but just kind of the amount of information that's available to the public, you know, your cover's affiliated, so you may have some interesting perspective on this. But the public and the people who are betting have more information than they've ever had before, right? Like it's, it's everything is in your hand. What are the splits? What, you know, I'm looking at an app on my phone right now that's telling me almost everything that I could hope to know about the bet splits and the live movement and all of this stuff. I'm barely lifting a finger. Do you think this is changing the way that kind of the market shapes and you know, like, is there even a soft, stupid public anymore, or is there kind of like multiple tiers, I guess?
There's definitely multiple tiers, and I think you're always going to have a public that bets for their team. They're going to bet the team that's the number one seed. No matter what spread you put for certain teams, you know there are going to be people all aboard that team just based on namesake, just because they think that, you know, the Arizonas of the world are going to go on and win the national championship. I think that when you're doing your research and trying to figure out who you want to bet, you really have to take everything with a grain of salt. At the end of the day, they are just numbers. And a lot of the time, the information you're going to be seeing are towards the latter half of the season. Like, people pay a lot of attention to the latter half and the last couple of games teams played. So I would say, try to look into earlier seeds. Try to look into who had good odds, who had a lot of hype going into the season. A lot of the time, those teams will be underrated, underappreciated. And there's a lot of value. You just have to try to find the one team, two teams, three teams that you think the public aren't interested in and will give you the double-digit odds. Because there are going to be those teams that are going to make the Sweet 16, potentially Elite Eight. And you're getting so much value on there. But having so much information is definitely a blessing and a curse. You just have to know what it is you're looking for. And when you're on these sites or these apps, go in with a game plan and be very specific in what it is you're looking for.
I love it.
Yeah, there can be a lot of information. And you can have the best laid plans, but just because somebody's doing, you know, 20 hours of research and putting together a numerical model doesn't mean they're any good or the model's any good.
Feels like a thin male shot.
No,
I know. I'm kidding.
I know, halfway through that I thought of that, but I mean, there's probably a ton of people that try to make models and they're not successful. You know, there's people that with all that info, they feel like, well, I'm a sharp now. I have all this information. Well, everyone with the internet has this information, and you know, maybe the lines are adjusted accordingly. And Vegas still wins every single month at the sports book. So I don't know. Maybe there's you hear that pseudo sharp terminology thrown around. And I think people are smarter in general with some of the information that you can get at a fingertips. And people used to check the scores the next day in the newspaper. So, you know, we've come a long ways, but they're still the sports books winning every single month.
I love it. Well, that's great insight for everybody. I guess before we wrap up, your title winning prediction, Monique, who you got taking the title this year?
Well, I got Virginia versus Villanova, and I think Virginia's going to win this year.
V versus V. All right.
I know. So nice and chalky.
Well, you know what? They're the best two teams in the country. They've been the best two teams for most of the season, so it's not that crazy.
In another bracket, I could have Michigan State, Virginia, but I'm pretty sold on Virginia this year. I really like them. I think the price is fair. I think they're the best team.
They're tested. What they did in the ACC was downright impressive. Whether that translates to success in the tournament is another question, but we shall find out. Andy, who are you taking?
It looks like after I did my bracket, I did go with some Nova.
Nova. All right.
But honestly, I think the more I look at it, I think whoever comes out of the other side is going to come out of the South. I don't know. I don't know if Michigan, UNC, Zaga, Xavier can hang with whoever's going to come out of the South.
All right.
And
very cool.
I've been quietly listening to... Oh, I can hear it.
You got one shining moment or something?
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't listen to that a few times before the tournament,
I'll put it in the
background. There's a pretty solid. You can watch every year. It's on YouTube.
All right.
So I'll be watching about an hour and a half of those tonight.
I got one fun one I got to ask you guys before we call it a night. Thank you, by the way. This has been awesome fun. As always, I love your insights. And Monique, will there be a buzzer beater in the round of 64?
Of course. Of course, there'll be a buzzer beater in the round of 64 and second round as well, I'd say.
Ooh, wow. The odds for the odds.
Hey, you can prop it on that.
You can prop it on that, yeah.
Can you? I guess, don't get me started.
I guess. All right, so let me ask you this. A buzzer beater's endings over 2.5.
Oh, no, that's too many.
At plus 310?
Oh, shit. That's nice, though.
This is the most wide open tournament in years.
You're right, and I was so confident on there being two. So, you know, I could get two in the first round, and then I'm looking golden. Then I'll be selling my ticket. But no, I think there'll definitely be one early, and I think, you know, I'll say two. So I'll take the under on the 3.5. But the more I think about it, I'll probably take plus 310 if I can find this bet. So
nice, Andy. Are you taking over or under buzzer beaters 2.5?
Well, just being greedy and wanting that, I'm gonna take over.
That's true.
I'm gonna get on Friday night here and look at all the props here yet tonight.
Yeah, there's some fun.
Those are fun.
There's some fun ones. I like over as well. Let's get three buzzer beaters on Thursday morning, the first three games, and we'll have a party. All right, guys. Thanks again. This was good fun. One shining moment will play us off, and you guys have a wonderful tournament. Win all your bets, win all your pools, except the pools that we're in together. And let's go, Duke!